Okay, Pesach L'chor Achsania. First of all, I thank the Lovies for opening their home before Pesach. It's not an easy time. And specifically, and also to Racheli, to Orit, for putting us together and making this happen. I threw out the idea, they're like, yes. I didn't even like finish the sentence. They're like, yes. And then they've just made it happen. So thank you guys. Appreciate it. The incoming students. Exciting. This is our first opportunity to share Torah together. And Mirtz Hashem will have a lot more opportunities next year and in the future. Mirmo girls, you're all part of the family.
We live
start
on the
with
same
that.
Block.
Same, same block. Yeah, same
Baca
block.
Time,
we start with the M. It's good. It's
Midrash
and Moriah. Yeah,
exactly.
It's good. But I wanted to speak about Pesach. Pesach's coming up. And I'll tell you, I'm actually going through like a crisis right now. To be honest, I'm on vacation. I feel very like just relaxed. Maybe you could understand this. Cause we just 3 days ago, believe it or not, 2 days ago, we were in Hebron for Shabbos. We spent Shabbos in Hebron, and we were davening. We had literally 3 days ago. I was davening with Kabbalah Shabbos and Maris Machpelah, and like the past 2 days, I've been in the five towns, and. I don't know if anybody can understand what I'm saying, but going, it's a little different. Hebron, like, 200,000 Arabs surrounding you, 90 Jewish families, Maris Machpelah, Kedusha, and coming to a place is very, very, very different. So I'm going through, like, a little bit of a, like a crisis. I don't know if I'm, I think this Torah that I'm sharing right now, it's not just the Torah I want to share with you. I think for myself, it's something I want to express, speaking to myself. And speaking specifically to alumni who are here, I think this is a very, where I kind of gearing this Torah towards you guys. I think it's very apropos. And it's we're going to start with a piece from Pachad Yitzchak. Pachad Yitzchak of Huttner, his Rosh Yeshiva Torah Vadas, he started Torah Vadas. His Torahs, Pachad Yitzchak, his Sefer Pachad Yitzchak, is very deep like Machshava. He takes, it's kind of like a Shir Klali. He takes like he takes ideas from all over the place. And he brings them together, and he usually has a very nice idea that he gives over through that methodology of taking different taking like ideas from different places and bringing it together. They're sometimes very difficult. I think this one's more straightforward. And he discusses in this Pachad Yitzchak that we know at the Seder there's a specific order that takes place in Magid, how we start Magid and how we end Magid. Can anybody make the one interactive part of the shift right now? How do we? Anybody know the structure of how we begin Magid and how we end Magid? Beautiful. There's a concept of Matkil Beganai. We start with disgrace. We speak about Avadim Hayinu, our forefathers were slaves, and Messiah B'Shevach. And then we end with praise. We end with Shevach. We end with something good, that we left Mitzrayim, that we became Klal Yisrael. That's how we end the Seder. And the Pachad Yitzchak in this piece discusses why this, the Chazal, why did the Baal Haggadah create this type of structure? Why was that so important? The Gemara has a discussion of how we fulfill Matkil B'Ganos and Mitzrayim B'Shevach. And if you don't do it, like you somehow don't fulfill the Seder. And that's what the Pachad Yitzchak is discussing in this piece. It's a long piece. What I did was I underlined a couple parts of each section just to go through his main ideas, not to get lost in all the text. But if you go in and on page one, starting in the second paragraph, he says, "Hine mitzvah sipur yitzias mitzrayim." He said exactly what I just said, that the mitzvah of telling over us living mitzrayim, chovasahi lehatcha b'gnos osayim shavach. Right, he just quotes an idea we just mentioned, that you have to start with Ganos and with Shavach. And the way that we fulfill this is by expressing Kilifnei Ha'Geula Hayinu Avadim. Before we had redemption, we were slaves. Not only that, we don't start with Mitzrayim. We talk about our forefathers, Avram. That where did Avram Avinu come from? Came from idol worshippers. He came from a place of disgrace. He wasn't like coming from a place of being a tzaddik, and his background wasn't one that was all perfect. It came from a place of darkness. And he comes and he brings a statement from Maral, which is so fundamental and really going to be called the yisod of our shir tonight. And this is his words. Because Shir Tavin Oteda, Ki Hashavach Shekodem Lo Genus, Hu Yotzer Shavach. An unbelievable idea. That when you have disgrace, when disgrace comes before praise, the praise becomes even greater. Okay, when something bad precedes something good, the good somehow is like magnified, it's elevated. Kimo shetira shayom kodolo halayla, like we see in Judaism. Judaism, where is the, when does the, when the day begin? Incoming soon at the night. Right? In the nighttime, we start the day, right? You're going to have the Pesach Seder, it's going to be at night, because that's when the Teshuvah, the 15th of Nisan begins, is at night. And the Maharal is telling us, a Yesod that's found in the creation of this world, that night precedes day. And there's a reason for that. It's not just like, oh, Hashem decided, oh, let's start the daytime at night. There's a very fundamental idea being taught here. He says the following thing: because if you look at this world, the physical world, if you look at the physical world, you won't find things that are in a perfect state. Things do not begin in a perfect state. Because yagia shlemos yefshar osa that he says that you can't find perfection in the beginning. Kashir hayam majvega yona, but it's an elevated shlemos, perfection is something that's an elevated state. It's something that you need to get to. It's something that you need to achieve. It's not something that's automatic. Right? Some of us think that to just become perfect or to become good at something, it's automatic. I have it or I don't have it. And the Maharal says it's not true. Everything starts off as not perfect, as imperfect, incomplete, and there's a process to get to completion. The way that things start, not only is it not complete, you start many times in a very low place. In a very, very low place. The opposite of completion. And only at the end, you reach that state of perfection. Okay? And this is the opening idea brought by the Pachadi. It's like this concept of that. Why do I start beginus? Why do I start with disgrace? It's not just a historical, recounting of our history. The starting with disgrace is telling us this is how you get to perfection. It's an instrumental part. Without it, you can't succeed. That somehow, the struggle and the darkness and the disgrace brings to Shevach. Okay? That's step number one in the Pachad Yitzchak. I want to skip now to Gimel. So again, in that first section we said that we need to go through a darkness to get to light. And in Gimel, he says something unbelievable from Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah, anybody know what Rabbeinu Yonah is? Rabbeinu Yonah. Now I'm looking at the alumni. You know what Rabbeinu Yonah is? Yeah, don't just shake your head. No, who is he? Okay, I'll read you what he said. Rabbeinu Yonah, but I ain't about Rabbeinu Yonah, I'm not reading the other part, but Shari Tshuva, he wrote Shari Tshuva. He wrote the Sefer on Tshuva. Okay, one of the most famous Svarim in Elul time. People are always learning Shari Tshuva. A lot of people are learning Shari Tshuva. He talks about tshuva. In that sefer, he brings the following idea. This is the underlying part now. He says, "Ki yeh hachoshech sibas haor." Not only does one need to go through darkness in order to get to light, he says that darkness creates light. That the darkness itself creates life. No, sorry, light. Kimo shekasev, and he brings a pasuk from Micha that says this idea. Al ta'atis mechi oy vaisaili ki nafalti kamti. He's telling his enemies that don't be so happy when I fall. Because when I fall, kinafalti, because I fall, kamti, I get up. Kika esha b'choshech Hashem orli, that when I go into a place of darkness, God will become my light. And Chazal say on this, va'amru Chazal, ilmole nafalti lo kamti. If I never fell, then I would never get up. Meaning falling allows a person, this is very interesting, we never would think this way, that falling allows a person to get back up. It allows a person to get up. If you never fell, if you never fell down, you can't get up. If I never went to that place of darkness, then I never achieved light. It's an unbelievable idea. I've taught a lot in yeshivas and I've taught a lot in seminaries, and I always have this always come. People always come to me and say, I'm struggling in this. You know, I thought I overcame this struggle. It happens now. Like Ben Azman, and you start getting phone calls. Like everybody's like, oh, everything's good. I'm overcoming the struggle, and they go back 3 days into Ben Azman. Oh my goodness! I thought I'd never stumble this, and now I'm stumbling in it. And I say, like, that's amazing. It's not amazing, but it is amazing because it's that struggle of life is where a person is able to really become a stronger person. I like to give a mashal. We came up with a mashal, and we do this in Pachad Yitzhak. I think there's a mashal. I think the mashal is like, if you imagine, that's how I imagine, you take like a slingshot, okay? And the more you pull back on a slingshot, what happens? The farther it'll eventually go. Right, and when a person falls, what you're essentially doing is you're pulling back on this slingshot. You're going to a place of darkness, going to a place of struggle. You're pulling back, and the question is, you're going to let go at some point. The question is, where are you aiming the slingshot? Are you aiming the slingshot into a place of positivity, into a place of growth, or are you pointing that slingshot that I'm just going to use it to let me go to a place that's just going to be bad for me? You're going to fly further away. It's going to be a place of good or a place of bad. And this is such a powerful idea. Because a lot of us are scared. I said, are you afraid of the dark? Everyone afraid of the dark. But there's a show, when I was a kid, there's a show called Are You Afraid of the Dark? So that's what I was. The older people, when they saw it, was like, oh, you stole the title. I was like, no, that's Are You Afraid of the Dark? I said, afraid of the dark. So I half stole the title. But a lot of us are afraid of the dark. And a lot of us are afraid of struggle. And what the Pachad Yitzchak is teaching us based on the Maral and based on Rabbeinu Yonah is that darkness and struggle is what makes us great people. It's what makes us people. It's what makes us into people who become great. And we see this also. He doesn't bring this up, but this came to my head. It's came to me right now. The Gemara tells us that when Moshe Rabbeinu went to go get the Torah, the Gemara tells us that he went up to Shemayim, and the Malachim started a big ruckus in Shemayim. What was the ruckus? What did they say? What did the Malachim say to Hashem Baruch Hu? Moshe Rabbeinu is coming up. This human being is coming up, and the Malachim say to Hashem Baruch Hu, Hashem Baruch Hu, you're going to give the Torah to them? And the Torah has been up here for thousands of years. It's been in this kadosh place. You have malachim that are guarding it. You're teaching it to the malachim. What are you giving it to them? And what did Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, you answer the malachim. And Moshe Rabbeinu, it's an unbelievable thing. Moshe Rabbeinu says, what does it say in the Torah? It says to the malachim, what's the first thing Hashem Baruch Hu told us in the Torah? As we leave Mitzrayim, we go to Har Sinai. Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Asher Hotzei Yitzchem Me'aretz Yitzrayim. I am God who took you out of Mitzrayim. And Moshe Rabbeinu turns to Malachim and he says to Malachim, have you been to Mitzrayim? They say, no. Okay, so it doesn't look like it's for you. And then it says, Kavedes Avicha V'Semecha. He goes to Malachim, you have parents? No. And then he's going through all the different things that are mentioned in the Torah that have to do with really this mundane world. And the Malachim say, he's right. It's not for us. And the whole foundation of Torah that we see from this Gemara is really this concept that's found here in this Pachad Yitzchak. That Torah, that life in this world, it's not for malachim. It's for people that struggle. It's for people who are not perfect. It's people who have challenges in their lives. They go through darkness, but the idea of Torah, which Chazal tells us in the Gemara Megillah, is Torah is ora, is light. That what Torah does, it illuminates the places of darkness. That Torah allows us to succeed in places of challenge and failure. And it's specifically those places of challenge and failure that make us great. That's his first yisod over here. And he says, therefore, on the Pesach Seder night, we could just say, what we could really do is say, hey, we're in Mitzrayim, for like, you know, just mention that we're in Mitzrayim, and then just focus on, we left Mitzrayim, and we got the Torah, and we went to Eretz Yisrael, and we had a Beis HaMikdash. He says, no. The only reason we were able to do that is because we went to Mitzrayim for 210 years. And we struggled, and it was hard, and it was difficult, and it wasn't easy. But that's what made us Bnei Yisrael. That's what makes us the people who deserve the Torah. Not only of giving the Torah, but to live the Torah. And therefore he says an unbelievable idea. And this is Dalet. So I'm not going through everything, I just want to get to the main ideas. That we have a very interesting halacha when it comes to Pesach night. That many of us, we kind of read the Haggadah. But that's not really the way we're supposed to interact on the Seder night. The Seder night, the whole concept of the Seder night is V'gad tol abichas, tell over to your children. And he points out that there's a specific way that we're supposed to converse with our children on the Seder night. What's the way that we're supposed to converse? Anybody know how we're supposed to converse? Yeah.
Questions
and answers. Very good. Manishtana halayla azeh. Right? The children ask, why is this night different? That's how we start Magid. Why? It's all about why. Manishtana. And the Parashat Yitzchak asks, why do we have to do it specifically in that fashion of questions, answers? And he says, because if you look at questions and answers, something interesting happens when you ask a question. When you ask a question, what happens is you create confusion. Right? We thought everything was very understandable. And everything was clear. And when you ask a question, you realize, oh my goodness, I don't understand anything. This makes no sense. And you enter a place of confusion. You enter a place where you are challenged. And things don't make sense to you, and you're confused. And what happens is, from that challenge, you give an answer. And from that question, you get even greater clarity. And it's specifically that methodology that we use at the Seder, because it's emphasizing this idea of Matka Beginus Messiah Meshevach. It's through that struggle of the question that you'll get to the answer. That highlights, that fashion of giving over back and forth, the question answer highlights for us what the purpose of the Seder is. And that's why we specifically do it in that fashion of question and answer. And then he says, unbelievable idea. So that was Dalet. Again, I'm giving you very quick snippets. We left Mitzrayim in the chipazon. It was quick, right? We have to, it's resources. We have to move quickly. And hey, he says, unbelievable idea. He says, this is not just true when we left Mitzrayim, this concept. This concept is found in the creation of Klal Yisrael by the first Jew. By the first Jew. This idea of darkness to light is found by the first Jew. Who's the first Jew?
Avraham
Avinu. And hey, if you look at the underlying parts, Shahari Maimer Hashem Yisparach, Asher Ayadon Nasa Karov Hazeh, that with the place that we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses this methodology when he becomes close to us, Hu Hatzivoy, when he gave us the commandment of Lech Lecha Me'artzecha Me'amatecha Me'beis Avicha Ala Aretz Hashareka. The first commandment Avraham Avinu is given. What's the first commandment? Let's go. Everybody should know this. Parents, incoming, outcoming, current. What's the first commandment? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Avraham Avinu. Lech Lecha, right? Lech Lecha Me'aretz Kanaan Savicha. That's the first commandment he's given. And what was so great about that? What was so challenging about that? Beautiful. Very beautiful. Most of us would have said, because he has to leave his father's house. No. That wasn't the challenge. Don't forget, Avraham Avinu, the Medrash tells us, his whole community wanted to kill him. They threw him into a furnace. I mean, I would be leaving my father's house if that's what was happening to me, right? I'm assuming we all would be leaving our father's houses if that's what was happening to us. That wasn't the challenge of Lech Lecha. The challenge of Lech Lecha is Ela Aretz Asher Eka. That you're going to go to the land that I will show you. Meaning, Avraham Avinu had no idea where he was going. I mean, Avraham Avinu didn't have ways. What he did was, he just started walking. Hashem said, just keep on walking and trust me that I'll get you where you need to get to. Which means that Avraham Avinu's entire encounter with the Bon Shalom, the beginning part of it was confusion. Unclear. Things were unclear. That was the challenge. He had no idea where he was going. But you know what ultimately happened to Avraham Avinu through that unclarity? He became Avraham Avinu. He developed the closest relationship a person could have with their Bon Shalom. He was able to have the covenant with God. He was the one who was able, that was chosen, that was able to have Klal Yisrael come from him. Because he went through this process of darkness. And through this darkness, that created a deep connection with the Bon Shalom. And one of the words that I really like a lot is that the Meshulach from Ishbitz, he says that this also seen, it's not only true by Lech Lecha, it was true by the last of his challenge. What was the last challenge Avraham Avinu had? The last of the Nidus Sonos? Akedas. Yeah, it's gone. Good. It's a good group over here. Kelly, you got us the best.
Only the best.
The last of Avraham Avinu's Nisyonos is Akedas Yitzchak. And the Mishulach says a very interesting interpretation of what the challenge was by the Akedas Yitzchak. Obviously, taking your son and having to shecht him, that's a pretty... The truth is, but I just flew with four kids on an airplane for like 12 hours, and maybe I can understand the idea of shechting your children, but not actually, right? But it was... Mirta Hashem, I'll fly with the four children one day, but that was a challenge within itself. But what was the challenge? Doesn't make you luck. The real challenge of that Kedah was a very similar challenge to Lech Lecha. It says, when Avraham Avinu is traveling to the Akedah, it says, Vayar es hamakom merachok. It says that Avraham Avinu saw the place from afar. That's referring to the mountain where he was going to go, to Har HaBayis, to go Shech Yitzhak. He saw that place from afar. That's Pasha Pshat, right? He saw, it says in Meshulach, again, Drush. He says, Vayar es hamakom merachok. Is that what it's talking about? Makom, I'm going to say in the Haggadah in a week and a half. Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu. One of God's names is Makom. When somebody passed away, HaMakom Yenachem Eschem. Right? We refer to Kadosh Baruch Hu as Makom. Makom is a name that's used for God in times of concealment. Now, Avraham Avinu, think about it. Avraham Avinu is coming to sacrifice his son to God in order to become, to reach this highest level of connection to Kadosh Baruch Hu. It says in Mishloch, in that moment, Vayar Samachim Urachok, God seemed distant from Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu couldn't feel God. He couldn't sense God. He felt like God abandoned him. And that was the ultimate test. Because Hashem Kadosh Baruch Hu was saying, what happens when you can't see me? What happens when things are not clear? What happens when you're in a place of ganus, when things are in a disgrace, things are just in darkness? What are you going to do? And we know that Avraham Avinu goes ahead and does that Akedah. And it's at that moment that Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Avraham Avinu, I'm here. Avraham Avinu calls that mountain Har Yireh, the place where I feel God, where I see God, I sense God. It's that place where he didn't see God that he's able to say, I see God. Because remember, that was all of Avraham Avinu's tests. From the first test to the last test, it was the same message, because saying all the tests were, you will not see me. You will not sense me. I will challenge you over and over and over and over again. And what are you going to do about it? Are you going to keep on going? Or are you going to give up? Because if you keep on going, you'll become Avraham Avinu. You'll become Sarah Imenu. That's what Kadosh Baruch Hu is telling us. That's how you become great. Greatness doesn't happen by itself. Greatness must be achieved. You must work. You have to work through it. And that's the idea. Says the Pachlis, that's how Klal Yisrael is created, and that's how we're created by individuals. Avraham was the first individual Jew, and that's how the Klal is created. We went through the same process. Avraham, 210 years, and we don't see God. Gnus, that's really Gnus, but through that Gnus, we became Klal Yisrael. That's maybe also he doesn't say this, but I'm going to throw in a... I'll wait to say it. I'll say that. Remind me to talk about the moon. Write it down. You don't need to. But if I don't
just
say the
in
moon,
case, I want to say.
Exactly. Thank you. He says the following idea as well as in the end, he ends up with the following idea. He says, again, this is based on a morale. It's based on Kabbalistic reasons for different. The numbers have a lot of significance. The morale is very into numbers. And the morale says that the number 70 represents completion. It's a number it's a number of completion. And he says that when we entered into Mitzrayim for the first time, Klal Yisrael was shalim. They were in a place of completion. They had 70 souls that entered into Mitzrayim. And we entered a place of completion. And what we see is at that moment of completion, nothing really happens to the Jewish people. We stay at 70. We don't hear about another number after that. Just 70 people, that was it. Like, we reached this place of completion. And then the next thing we know, the next parsha in Shemos, there's a new king. That's where all the affliction begins. The 210 years of affliction begin. And what you would expect at that moment, remember, we're going through a lot of affliction. We're going through, again, real enslavement. You would think that the numbers would increase or decrease from the 70.
Decrease.
Right? We're getting subjugated. We're getting killed. The numbers should go from 70 to 60 to 50. And it says in Morale, unbelievable idea. We went through 210 years of destruction, but we multiplied like we never multiplied before. Because that'll tell us we were having six children at a time. And when we left Mitzrayim, we left to 600,000 people. We went from 70 to 600,000. I don't understand. We should have gone from 70. We entered Mitzrayim with 70. And then before Melch Mitzrayim, this new Melch Mitzrayim comes on the scene, who enslaves us and imprisons us, our number should have been, you know, exploding at that moment. That's not true. It's not that the Torah emphasizes it. It takes a lot. It mentions the numbers specifically to tell us there was a tremendous inflation that took place. It says in Morale, it only happens after 210 years of darkness. Because again, through that darkness, we reached levels that we never thought we could reach. We went from 70 to 600,000. It's at that moment that we're ready to leave Mitzrayim. And why does all this have to happen on Pesach? Why does all this have to happen on the night of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim that we have to emphasize this point? And he says the following idea. He ends with a beautiful idea. He says that when does redemption officially end? Who knows? When does redemption officially end? What?
Mashiach.
Mashiach. From Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim. When we left Mitzrayim, when did we become really free people?
When we left Torah.
Ah, beautiful. There's Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Pesach Seder is the beginning of the Geula process. What would we do the second day of Pesach? Right, we go through. The Haggadah, and we go through the night of Pesach, and right afterwards we start counting Sefiras HaOmer. The next night we start Sefiras HaOmer, and then we go through the end of Pesach, and then we continue counting Sefiras HaOmer. And the idea is that from that first night of Pesach, that's the beginning of Geula, the ultimate Geula, which allows us really to go to Eretz Yisrael, which is the ultimate Geula. But in order to finish, complete that first step of Geula is getting the Torah, meaning that Pesach is the setup for Shavuos. The Ramban is a famous Ramban that says that Chol HaMoed Pesach, right? That's how we have Pesach, and Shavuos are all one Yantif, and Sefiras HaOmer is Chol HaMoed. I mean, it's all really one big Yantif. Because it's all connected. We do Sefiras HaOmer to say this is connected to this, because without this, you can't have this. Which means that the receiving of the Torah starts with Pesach. That Pesach is really the beginning, the first step of Kabbalah Satorah. It says the Pachad Yitzchak, the unbelievable idea. He says that when it comes to Torah, Chazal tell us there are three things in this world. It's impossible to receive them without going through Isurim, without going through challenges, without going through suffering. What are the three things? You may know. Torah, Eretz Yisrael, and Olam Haba. You think you could just go into Olam Haba? You can't just go into. You have to suffer to go to Olam Haba. You have to struggle to get to Olam Haba. It's impossible to get Olam Haba without struggling. You think you just get Eretz Yisrael? Maybe Hashem Baruch Hu is going to give it. No, you got to suffer. It's going to be challenging. It's going to be hard. It's not going to be easy. The same thing is true when it comes to Torah. In order for a person to succeed in Torah, in Avodas Hashem as a whole, it's everything we've just been speaking about. You have to go through Isurin. You have to go through Choshech. You have to go through struggle in order to be a successful person in Torah. It's impossible to not do that in order to succeed in your Torah learning. And therefore says the Pachad Yitzchak, you want to know why there's such an emphasis of Matchil B'Genos V'Shayim B'Shevach? Because this is the first lesson a Jew needs to learn, not only in his Avodas Hashem, but in order to be Mekabel Torah, in order to receive Torah, in order to be somebody who's able to learn Torah, you have to realize it's not easy. It requires work. You need to struggle in order to succeed. And this is the lesson of Pesach. This is the lesson of the beginning of Kabbalah Satorah. Says the Pachad Yitzchak, this is the same reason. Actually, he doesn't say this, but I'm going to connect what he said before. If you look at a Gemara, anybody, if anybody's ever learned Gemara, everybody always says to me, like, why can't the Gemara just tell me what I can and can't do? Just give me the bottom line, right? It goes out for three pages about this ox gores a man, and the man falls on a pitcher, and the pitcher shoots out a rock, and he kills another man. Like, just give me, right? It goes through three daf back and forth. Rava says this, Abai says this, and then go back and forth, three refutations, and finally we get to like the halacha after three daf. We could just set it one line. The halacha is like Rava who says X. No. Because within Gemara itself, the Gemara is telling us how we accomplish success in Torah. It's through the struggle. It's through the back and forth. It's through going through Abaye and Rava and what he says and what he says. And confusion. Is this person right? Is that person right? It's going through that Gnus stage. It's going through that challenging stage. It's going through that darkness stage. And when you get to the end, you have light. But you only get that light if you go through all that questioning. If you go through all that struggle, is it possible to skip that and to succeed? However, now I'm turning out to, I'm going to speak to alumni now. Okay, and the truth is, it probably applies to everybody in this room. Everybody in this room goes through moments of struggle, moments of confusion, moments of not understanding, moments of questioning. Like, Kashmar, where are you? Like, why is this happening? And I think this Pachad Yitzchak is crucial for all of us in our lives to be able to say, like, instead of us saying, why is this happening, I think it's readjusting our sights and saying, I'm about to grow. Something amazing is about to happen. Something incredible is about to take place. Because instead of running away, you know, a lot of us, we want everything to be kind of, we want it to be easy and comfortable. I mean, as human beings, that's what we want. Especially in the generation that we live in, we want everything to be easy and quick. The thing you have to realize is challenges are okay. When things are not going exactly the way we want them to go, that's okay. Because it's a step to get us where we need to be. And when you eventually get to that place, you'll be filled with simcha and clarity and understanding, and you can realize, wow, that built me. And specifically to alumni, okay, because you guys didn't go through the experience yet. I'll tell you, it's very, very difficult. It's very difficult, whichever seminary you went to. It's very difficult to go through a moment of your life where you do have some clarity. And it's easy to connect to Moshe. When you're sitting in Yerushalayim and you're learning Torah, like a 5-minute cab ride away from Har Habayit, it's very easy to be like plugged in and have clarity, know exactly what I'm doing. And all of a sudden we find our place in something called like college. And you're like, what am I doing here? Like, why am I here? Like, what? I just wanted to drop all this. And I'm like, we have to realize you're on your way to your Yerushalayim. You're getting back to your Yerushalayim. You have to go through a struggle. And maybe really not understanding anything in your life. What you're supposed to do as a profession. What you want to be hashkafically. Where you want to live. Who you want to be. How you identify yourself. But that struggle is creating you into a successful Eved Hashem. But you have to be able to view it as this is a step in the process. This is not the end. This is Vayar Es HaMakom Merachok. You're about to bring your Akedas Yitzchak. You're so close. You're about to have that revelation with the Ribono Shel Olam, but you just have to stick it out. If you stick it out and you do what you're supposed to do, at the end you'll see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You'll call this place Har Yireh. I saw God here. This is where I revealed God. I was in this exact place and moment. It was right here. And hopefully that gives us a little simcha. A simcha of knowing like, it's okay. And it's okay if things are not okay. You know, like we don't like to say that, but it's okay. It's like, sometimes things are not okay. But that's because it's moving towards being okay. And again, that's true for all of us, wherever we are in life, whatever stage of life we're in. And what's incredible is like once you get to those moments of clarity, like you think like, oh, I made it. Like you're expecting like, oh, there's that moment. I'm going to get there. You get there, and then like it starts all over again with another thing like, which house should I buy? Or like, which job should I take? Or it's always, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's always challenging us. Because guys, if he didn't challenge us, then that means like there's no reason for us to be here. We're not in the world of Malachim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Kotzker says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is enough Malachim and Shemayim. He wants Anshei Kodesh. He wants people who are holy. He wants people who have become elevated. That's our job. That's what Pesach teaches us as we become a nation, is that we become a nation through struggles. We become a nation by being part of a physical world. It's okay to be part of a physical world. But we need to make sure that we're elevating that physical world. And we're making it spiritual. We're making it a place where the Baruch Shalom says, I feel comfortable being. That's what we're doing on Pesach. Pesach, we're getting rid of all of our chametz. Pesach, we're saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, during the year, I let the chametz get in the way. I get distracted by the chametz. And what we're doing is we're getting rid of that to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want you back here in my life. And I want to just show how this idea is also found. We're going to end soon. We're going to just say two more ideas. Interesting. What do we call the holiday that we're going to have? It's called? This is easy. We're about to have?
Pesach.
Pesach, good. Why is it called Pesach? What are we celebrating on Pesach? Guys, it's not a trick question. What are we celebrating on Pesach? Don't be scared. I know it's on a recording. Don't worry. I'll vouch for you. If you get the wrong answer, I won't say your name. She's good. She's good.
Yeah, Mitzrayim.
Ah, beautiful. We left Mitzrayim, guys. Right? Baruch Hashem, you already got your acceptance letters. That was like a little frightening. Okay, we left Mitzrayim on Pesach. Anybody know what happened on Purim? No, just kidding. We left Mitzrayim. Now, and it's called Pesach. Why is it called Pesach? What did we bring in Mitzrayim before we left Mitzrayim? Korban Pesach, good. We brought our Korban Pesach, and of course, Baruch Hu passed over our houses. And now a lot of people ask the question, like, that makes no sense. If this whole holiday represents the idea of us leaving Mitzrayim, when we brought our Korban Pesach, were we leaving Mitzrayim? Did we leave Mitzrayim yet? No. We were in the middle of Mitzrayim. We were still in Mitzrayim. And we're bringing our Korban Pesach. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides to call this Yom Tov Pesach. Call it Chag HaGeula. Right? That's what some people do call it Chag HaGeula. That we, when we left, redemption. We give it a name that the name of the Yom Tov, which represents Geula, is the name of the Korban Pesach, which was brought in Mitzrayim while we were still enslaved. What's that all about? So I don't remember where I heard this, but it really was a beautiful idea. That this message that we're talking about right now, we spoke about till this point, for the Pachad Yitzchak, this whole idea is found in the name Pesach. that we sometimes think, like geula, redemption, is something that happens like at the end. Right? Like some of us think, what's going to happen? Beis HaMikdash is going to fly out of the sky. It's going to just plop down, destroy the mosque. We're all going to come with our sheep, you know? And we're going to come to the Beis HaMikdash. And it's going to happen like that. And that's not true. Some people believe that. And that's one mahalach. But there's another mahalach. There's another path of how we can view geula. Is that geula is taking place right now. It's happening. While you're in Mitzrayim, geula is happening. That's what Pesach is telling you. You're still in Mitzrayim, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, geula is happening right now. This step of this darkness, this what seems like galus, what seems like exile, it's building geula. Right? This whole machlokas, reshit tzmicha geulatenu. Like right now, it's happening. Going back to Eretz Yisrael, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. We're going back to our soul, and we have a country. Today's election day. I can't believe I missed election. I'm like, I'm not talking about it, but it's okay. What I've discovered is there's like elections like every 7 months, and like I never understood why. And then I realized today we don't have Sundays in Israel, right? The only time you have a Sunday is when there's elections, because there's no. It's like it's illegal to have work, school. Everybody's off. They said half the people in the country didn't vote today because they were at the beach, right? So what happens? Like, wow, like Sundays are amazing, but like they can't, they don't have Sundays. So like, okay, let's have elections. You know, that's we're always having like elections. But what's amazing about what really it's elections in Israel is like an amazing thing. Here it's like people like we vote in Israel. It's like you feel like you're part, really, literally. Like if you look at it with the eyes of the Pachad Yitzchak, Geula is taking place in front of our eyes. Geula is taking place in front of our eyes. Things are not perfect in Eretz Yisrael. They're not. We don't have Sundays. Okay? They're not. But I'll tell you, and this is where my crisis is happening in my life right now, is that this Shabbos, past Shabbos, like I saw, Geula is taking place. Geula is taking place. I got to spend Shabbos in Hebron. With Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Leah, and Esav's head, right? They're all, and Adam and Chava. Like, it's an incredible, that's a schus that our grandparents wish they can have. You don't know what Moshe Rabbeinu would have given to, like, just, like, be with MMI for Shabbos? Like, this past Shabbos, he would have, like, given everything. He just wanted to see Eretz Yisrael on a mountain just to see what it looked like. But we have the opportunity to be there in Yerushalayim. It's not perfect, but we're in Yerushalayim. And a person can miss it. A person can completely miss their Bor Shalom in their lives. Because we're distracted with other things. We're distracted with chametz. And what we do on Pesach is we're removing the chametz, we're removing the things that get in the way between me and the Bor Shalom. Matzah is the most pure thing in this world. It's flour and water. You don't let it rise. You don't let it get filled with air. The things that look like it takes up space, but there's nothing there, just air. That's chametz. It's just pockets of air. We remove that. To see when I remove that, I'll see the Moshon. Everything will be clear. I'll see that even when I'm in Mitzrayim, and I'm eating my Korban Pesach, and I'm not yet out of Mitzrayim, Geula is taking place. Geula is taking place. I would say to those who are coming next year, let's turn to those coming next year. Okay, it's a little early, but we'll just keep this, like, remember, like, oh yeah, Rav Dani said this to me, like, in West Hempstead, we're out of town somewhere, like, over there, and I should stop saying that, right?
Okay.
Thank you, Rabbi. But we have to be able to, when you're going, and this is true for all of us, but when you're going through something, it's easy to just take it for granted. You take it for granted, like, yeah, like being, like, literally being a Chevron, like, take it for granted. Like, it's, when you come to learn, you have a year to come learn in Israel, in Yerushalayim. It's an opportunity you never get again. And there's gonna be struggles, and we'll talk about this more, like, when we actually get there. It's something that could seem very scary, right? I don't know if you guys are like, it's a little nerve-wracking, like, and maybe you're not thinking about it yet because you're still like in school, but it's scary. It's scary to leave your home. It's scary to come to Eretz Yisrael. It's scary to learn. It's scary. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what's safe. I'm opening it, how to learn it. But realize you can do it. And realize even when it's going to be hard, it will be hard. It's going to be very, very hard. But Pesach, don't forget Pesach. Even when it's hard, when there's struggles taking place, Gula is happening. You're growing. It's happening. You're becoming a different person. And the same concept is found with, we'll end with Hashem Yishmuel. Hashem Yishmuel says in his Haggadah, he says that we start with, we have karpas. Before we do magi, we have karpas. What's karpas? Dipping. Well, depends. Everybody's going to give a different answer, right? Karpas, like, what is it? There's a famous Devar Torah, karpas. Celery, radish, potato. Oh, no.
Carrots.
Whatever. Radish, potato, and celery. Those are the four things that people use for whatever. You dip something into salt water. And the Shem Yishmuel says, and you eat this like little potato. He says, why do we normally have an appetizer? Even though I normally eat an appetizer, this is not like a Torah question. It's like just a general knowledge. All the Mada people know. Why do I dip potato? Why do I eat it like an appetizer? What's it do? So if you eat a little amount, it makes you more hungry. Whets your appetite. And then what you do is you have a little appetizer, and then you're ready for your main course. So Shem Yishmuel asks a question. If that's true, so like I eat a little potato now, and then what happens after I eat the potato? So it depends what your family's like or where you're doing your Seder. Like if you have to get to like a big buffet like station, then your Seder is like 15 minutes, right? You gotta get to the buffet first. I'm a first in line buffet kind of guy. I don't know about you guys. But so depending on your Seder, but your Seder can be drawn out for an hour. By the time you eat your potato and you say all of Maggid, okay? And then you get to like your matzah, and then you eat Mara, and then you get to Shulchan Aruch. By the time you get to Shulchan Aruch, like it's an hour later, why am I eating that little potato? And the Shem Yishmuel is an unbelievable idea. It's everything we've been talking about. That he says, this is explaining Geula. Redemption happens in stages. Redemption happens, the way redemption happens is, you have a little piece of potato, you see a little bit of light, you taste something really good, you feel that success, everything's going great, and then what happens? There's a long magid. And there's a long break. And you're like, where did the Geula go? I just felt you right, where did you go? And you go through that long break. And then once you go through that long break and you go through it, Malka Begnus, then Messiah B'Shevach, you go through that struggle. You know what happens afterwards? Then you never stop eating. You have matzah, and you have maror, and you have korach, and you have all the charosas, and then you have the shulchan aruch, and you have afikomen, and you're going to explode after all that. Because that's geula. It happens in stages, it happens in steps, it happens slowly, it doesn't happen quickly. That's a very important lesson for all of us. Again, in a generation where everything has to be quick, we have to learn to slow down. We have to learn to realize that it takes time. But Chaim, I'm telling you, if you stick with it, you daven to Hashem, and you do what you're supposed to be doing, you'll succeed. You will. I've yet to see somebody who didn't try and just didn't succeed in their avos Hashem. You got to try, and it's hard, and it's not easy. When we do that, we have geula. That's what this whole Yom Tov is about. And then once you understand this whole concept, and we start doing it, we start doing right after Pesach. Like I said, we start Tzvirsa Omer. It's like not just enough to talk about like geula, and now you got to work. 1 day, 2 day, 3 days, 4 days. Five. You can't just go, like Shavuot should be right after Pesach. No. You have to work to get out of that tumah to become tahor. It takes work, and it's counting up. Every day, today I did this. Tomorrow I'm doing this. Work, 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 and you'll succeed. Chaim, this is like the greatest. This is the simcha. This is simcha. Simcha, knowing that no matter what, if I'm in Mitzrayim, if I'm in Eretz Yisrael, wherever I am, I can succeed. I can succeed. And I think this to me, speaking to myself now, being here now, again, going from Chevron to being here, I realize that everywhere you go, is a step to get closer to Ribbono Shel Olam. Okay? There's no like, oh, that's so confusing. Yeah, it's confusing. That means you're growing. That means you can succeed. And we have to be b'simcha. We have to be a simcha even in our moments of darkness, our moments of challenge. And the Mirta Hashem, when we do that, Mirta Hashem, and I think the way that we do that is through Torah. I think really Torah is, I mean, we started going back to the title, Afraid of the Dark. Yeah, life is could be dark. The flashlight that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us is Torah. The Torah, Ora Zu Torah. Kiner Mitzvah V'Torah Or. Mitzvahs are a near, our candle. Torah's Or, Torah's light. Torah illuminates our lives. That gets us through the darkness. And Mirtz Hashem, we can be Mekabel Torah, we can learn Torah, we can struggle to Torah, be able to see the ultimate light. The ultimate light of Mashiach. Amen. Amen.